Wow, what a good song that was, eh? Powerful name of Jesus. Wow. Let's just pray, shall we? And then, kids, I want you to come on down the front. I've got a couple of things I need your help with today. Hopefully it'll work. We got a first aid officer in the house. Oh, it's me. Oh, ooh. Let's pray. Father God, we just give this time to you right now and ask that you would be in the midst of it all. Lord, as we open your word, as we talk about, an incredible subject, Lord, I pray that you would indeed minister by your Holy Spirit into each of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said? Amen. Amen. Now, kids, I want to tell you a story first. Do you know what a story is? Yeah. Yeah, what's a story? This story is not a true story. To prove it's not a true story, you guys give me a name.
No fiction.
Albert. Albert. We'll call it Albert. Okay, so Albert. Albert was out one night walking through a park. And the park came onto the back of a national park. So it went from a normal park to a bigger park with long grass and trees and rivers and little creeks, and he went walking and walking, and as he went walking, the moon went behind a cloud, so it got darker and darker. So what's he doing wrong?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. So you're okay to go walking at night time by yourself out in the middle? No, you're not allowed to do that?
No.
No, so that's wrong. Wrong. What if you go with three friends? Okay, if you're like older, not at your age. No. Correct. Yes, that's very correct. So if you're older, you still can't go by yourself. You should go with other people. Boys Brigade 46B Brule, never go bushwalking at night time by yourself. Never. Never. Trust me. I know that rule. I had to write it out 101 times because I went bushwalking at night time by myself. Got in trouble, okay? Scared a lot of people, which is not good. Anyway, this guy's bushwalking at night time, and the clouds and the moon do their thing, and it goes very dark, and he takes a step, and as he takes a step, he finds out he's at the edge of a cliff.
What?
I know. And at the edge of the cliff, when you have nothing to step on, guess what happens?
He falls down.
And thankfully for him, as he falls down, there's a branch out the side of the cliff. And it sort of hits him, and he grabs it with his arms, and he holds on. And he's panicking because he doesn't know how far it is to the bottom, because he can't see. It's pitch black. And he's just holding on. And you know what he does? You know what people do in that situation? They yell. Yeah. What do you think they yell?
Help!
Say it again. Yep, and louder. Very good. Yell out, help! But guess what? He's bushwalking by himself. And he's in the dark, and he's out in the middle of nowhere, and no one knows where he is.
He could probably just climb up.
Yeah, except he's not sure how far he's fallen, and it's really dark, so he can't actually see what to hold on to. So he's going to stay holding on. He keeps yelling help until he goes, help! Can't do it anymore. And then all of a sudden he hears a voice. Now remember, this is a story. All of a sudden he hears a voice. And it says, hey, what's the guy's name again?
Albert.
Hey, Albert, I see you're in a bit of trouble. Yes, I'm in a bit of trouble. Can you help me? Yes, Albert, I can help you. Good. Thank you. So what are you doing out walking at night time? I get around. I'm sort of everywhere, here, there. Cool, Albert says. And Albert says, so who are you? What's your name? And guess what he says? He says, my name's God. And Albert says, oh, God, thank you so much. That is so good because I know you can help me. And God goes, yes, I will help you. But Albert, just before I help you, a couple of quick things. And Albert goes, yes, God, anything. But can you hurry up a bit? I'm getting a little bit slippy here. And God says, yep, yes. Albert, do you love me? Yes, God, of course I love you. You are fantastic. I love everything. Easter, Christmas, love it. Fantastic. Love you. And then God says, Albert, do you trust me? And Albert goes, yes, God, I trust you. I trust you with everything. And God says, do you really trust me? Yes, God, I really trust you. And then what God says is, Albert, let go of the branch. Uh-oh. So how much does Albert really trust God? Does he let go of the branch?
No.
He actually thinks for a minute and says, you sure that's the only way out of this, God? And God goes, yes, if you let go of the branch, trust me, it'll be okay.
What?
Albert thinks for a bit, and he thinks, and guess what he says? Is there anyone else up there? He wasn't prepared to let go. And he held on, and he held on, and then the sun came up. And as he could see, he looks down, and about a foot from where he's hanging is the ground. And if he had to let go when God told him to, he would have been on safe ground. It's only a story. But sometimes God gets us to do things that sound like crazy. But it's okay. Do you want to do crazy this morning? Who's up for crazy? Ollie, you're up for crazy, aren't you? Yep, good man. I thought you would be. You're up, yeah, I know you're lucky, you're up to crazy. All right, Ollie, come on up the front. Okay, do you want to stand up there, mate? Very good. Excellent. Hey, you're almost my height. I can look you eye to eye. How you doing? Good. All right, do you want to turn around? There's some good-looking people over there. Say, hey, good-looking people. Good. All right. Now, do you trust me, Ollie? Is there anybody else out there? Where is Nathan, his dad, here? Okay, do you trust me?
Yep.
Yep, you do? All right, turn around there. All right, put your hands across your chest. All right, and fall, and I'll catch you.
Really?
Really? Do you trust me? No? 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 In a minute. All right, now, do you trust me?
Yes.
Oh, you're right on the edge. Buddy. All right, just stand there. Put your hands in front. Yes. All right, and I'll cross your chest. All right, now, do you trust me?
Yes.
All right, now, forward. Oh, hold on the count of three. We'll do this in an ordered way because even like this, there's got to be some form of workplace health and safety. All right, so on the count of three, you fall back into my strong... Feel that?
That doesn't feel very strong.
Awesome. I should listen to Mark. All right. On the count of three, I want you to fall back into my arms. Put your arms up. No. Cross your chest. All right. One. Face that way. Two. Three. Very good. Okay. Very good. How are you feeling?
Good.
Okay, cool. All right. Put your arms across your chest. All right, close your eyes. Now fall forward on the count of three again. We're going to do the three thing again. All right, ready? One, two, three. Very good. Good work. Okay, Lockie, quickly. All right.
Not very good, but I don't feel much.
All right, on the count of three. One, two, three. Good boy. Well done, Lockie. How was that? Was that better than the ride at Disneyland? Yeah, that's huge. All right, so faith and trust, they're hard, aren't they? Mate, I don't know if I would have fallen into anyone's hands. It's a challenge, isn't it? Faith and trust. Faith and trust. What do we do? And how do we do it? God calls us to live a life of faith, doesn't he? Calls us to walk by faith, to live by faith. How do we do that? When I first arrived to the Sunny Coast, a whole bunch of locals tried to get me to learn how to surf. And they got me out on a board. I bought a board. And one day I was going out with one of the local guys very early in the morning. And anything over 2 foot surf is big for me. Anything over 2 foot is big. So I'm paddling out this morning, I'm out on the beach with this guy, and I'm looking out at the surf, and it looks massive, massive. And he says, nah, it's only about 3 foot. And I went, okay, well, that's over 2 foot, so it's big. Okay. So he said, look, just paddle out with me, follow me, and we're going to get into that rip, and that rip's going to suck us out the back really quickly, and we'll be right ass. Okay, no worries. So I follow him out, paddle, paddle, paddle as hard as I can. I'm on an 8 foot mal, mini mal. He's on a little 6 foot board, short board, and he's paddling out, and I'm watching him paddle, paddle, paddle. And then I'm watching him go up this face of this wave. 6 foot board, face of the wave, and he's still paddling up and up and up. And I'm thinking, 6 foot, over a few, that's more than 3 foot. And so, but quickly, the rip grabs us and it sucks us out. And quicker than I'm paddling, that rip is pulling us out the back. And before I know it, without being smashed to pieces by the waves, which is what normally happens, I'm out the back with this guy and we're sitting relaxed in this beautiful, safe zone. And I just went, wow, that was amazing. That rip just sucked us out so quick. And he said, oh, yeah, mate. As a surfer, you look for the rip and you just get in it and out and you come. No problem. I went, wow, that is good news. That is good to know.
I can tell you
I've been surfing for 2 years. All wet, yes. Now, it only looks that way. It's not actually wet. It's designed to make it look that I am cool, but it's not. Anyway, so I go out in the rip. Now, when you are out swimming, are rips good things? No, rips are not good things. Rips are scary things. In fact, as part of my peer support, they have done studies on rips. And rips are probably the number one cause of drowning in Australia. Because you swim outside the flags, you get stuck in a rip, and it sucks you out. And as soon as you get stuck in a rip, there's a couple of things that go on. See if this rings a bell. When you get stuck in a rip, one of the things that goes on is, uh-oh, I'm heading to New Zealand. And not a lot of people want to go to New Zealand except for on a plane or on a boat. They don't want to go out in the water. And so they're getting to get sucked. The other thing that happens is that your feet are not touching the ground, the sand. And as soon as your feet come off there's parts of your brain that triggers and you start to panic. And the first thing that most people do in a rip is swim against the rip. So the rip's pulling you this way. Most people say, oh, it's pulling me to New Zealand. I want to be on Australia, so I'm going to paddle towards Australia. And so you swim. You swim. And have you ever seen people swimming in a rip? Even on a surfboard, you don't get very far. Except one thing. You get very, very, very tired very quickly. So there's two things you can do in a rip. One, swim parallel with the shore across the rip. Or you stay in the rip and go out the back and then allow the water to bring you back in, staying calm and floating in the rip. Float in the rip. Do not use your energy. Just go for the ride. Enjoy it. Picture New Zealand. Now, sharks don't live in rips. They just eat you in rips. So when you get around the back, you paddle back in because you've saved your strength because you haven't swum against the rip. One of the most amazing things that I've seen down at the surf club is nippers. And one of the things they teach nippers is how to get into a rip, because once they experience that, then A, the panic button doesn't get pushed so hard when it happens in real life. Now, we've got 200 nippers down on the beach today. Nippers started back today, first day in 2018. In Noosa, there's 600 nippers at the beach. So different clubs, different sizes. These kids down there are swimming and learning lots of things. When some of the trainers told me about this technique of putting the kids in the rips, and when I said I was thinking of doing a bronze, one of the guys went, cool, I can't wait to throw you in a rip and see you go out the back so that you learn this experience. And I went, when you throw me in a rip, is there an IRB? Are there a couple of boards? Are there guys on water safety? And he said, yep, all that's taken care of. So these kids get literally put into these rips and they all float along together. They all have fun. They have joy and they laugh and they go, whoa, look at this. And they're only little kids. And they know that out the back or with them are adults with their their boys and with the paddle boards, and the IRB is out the back to grab them when they go out. There is safety, 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 safety all put there, and they enjoy the ride, and when they get out the back, they get instructed on how to swim across, and then they come in all together, and then they catch the wave in, and then they get onto shore, and you should see their faces. They are just elated. They have ridden the rip and gone out there and come back, and they are just, wow, that is amazing. The fear switch is switching off, and so they now if they get into trouble, or if someone else is in trouble and stuck in a rip, how they can go into that area, rescue them, and bring them to safety. For you and for me, living by faith is like floating in a rip. It's letting God take us where we're not sure we're going. We might think we're headed to New Zealand, but God might have a different plan. We've got two Bible readings today. The first one's from the New Testament. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Reading from verse 22. It says this: immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside to himself to pray. Later that night, as he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the seas, and the winds were against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." "Lord, it is you," Peter replied. "Tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out and said, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and they were all amazed. Now we know that story, don't we? We've heard it many, many times. What's the first thing Jesus says to them as he comes up to them in the boat? "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." So when we're going into a rip situation, or we're going to go in this walk with God, or we're going to be drifting along with God, one of the first things we need to hear Jesus say to us is, "Do not be afraid. Take courage, it is I. I am with you in this situation." And then Peter says to him, "If it is really you, Lord, then get me to come out there with you." And so what does Jesus say? "Come. Come." And Peter gets out of the boat and starts to walk on the water. As long as he keeps his eyes on Jesus. As soon as he takes his eyes off Jesus and he looks at the conditions around him, he gets into trouble. And he starts to sink. But even though he starts to sink, who rescues him? Jesus. Jesus is right there. Even though there was that bit of a disobedience and a bit of a doubt, he reaches out and grabs him and picks him up and then puts him into the boat, into the safe zone. Jesus says to us today, for those of us wanting to walk by faith, take courage. It is I. I'm with you. Do not be afraid. Next part, we're going to turn back to the book of Daniel. We've got another story from Daniel after last week. Now, last week, just a quick recap, in the book of Daniel, there was a situation where Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, all of them made a stand and said, "No, we're not going to do this way. We're going to do it this way." And they made that stand. And God was so faithful to them. 10 times over, they were faithful. Today we're not talking about taking a stand, although sometimes living by faith you will take a stand, and it will be because you've taken this stand that you end up in the rip, okay? You end up in the rip, and if you're taking a stand trusting God and you end up in the rip, then guess what? You need to take courage that you're with God and he's with you and you're walking this journey together. The situation I want to look at today is Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to touch base on a couple of these passages here. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. Now there's debate on how big that was. Let's just say it was very big and worth a lot of money, And, you know, Australia would be in a really good place if we had a statue like that we melted down and sold it. It's massive. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And then he summoned the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, everybody. And he said to them, the dedication of this image was set up. And said that they all came and that they dedicated this image the king of Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before it. And then the herald loudly proclaimed, nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the trumpet, the lyre, the harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and all peoples of every language, guess what they did? They fell down and they worshipped it. Because no one wanted to be thrown into a great big furnace and burnt alive. And they all worshipped the image of God that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So we've got a situation here, haven't we? If Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego did not want to eat a certain type of food, do you think they're going to bow down to a golden idol made in the image of King Nebuchadnezzar? Not a chance. So they are going to make another stand, aren't they? They're not going to bow down to it. So they make their stand, as we read on in the story, they make their stand. Bow down, blazing furnace. Bow down, blazing furnace. What was going to happen to them because of their stand was obvious to them, wasn't it? If they did not bow down, the blazing furnace was going to happen. That was the outcome. They continued to choose not to do it. They were given a couple of options. Even King Nebuchadnezzar gave them an option. They chose not to. The important part about this is this little next bit that I want to read to us. They said they would neither worship nor serve the gods in any way. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you would not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? And they said, no, we won't do it. Not a chance. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar in verse 16, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from it, your majesty's hands. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. See the floating in the rip? See what they did? Our God can deliver us. Our God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, then there's no way we are going to bow down to your idol. Whether it's life or death, we choose the furnace because we're not going to bow down to this. Our stand is made. We're making this stand loud and clear. If God rescues us, praise God. If God doesn't rescue us, praise God. It's an interesting scenario, isn't it? I remember when I was in telecom and Telstra, and the guys used to do what they called Sunday school when I talked to them about God stuff. One of the guys said to me loudly and clearly, Donnie, you Christians have a win-win policy. And I went, what do you mean? And he said, say there's a plane crash in Nepal. Miraculously, everyone survives the plane crash. You as a Christian go, it's a miracle. Praise God. It's a miracle. You win. And then the other option is, everyone dies. God's will be planned. You win again. Either way, you win. I went, yeah, well, true. The thing with walking with Jesus is that win-win situation. If you're following him and making that stand. These guys, if God rescues us in the furnace, fair enough. If God does not rescue us in the furnace, fair enough. We will follow him, no matter the cost. How is that for you and for me? How does to walk by faith or live by faith, how do we do that? Is there a cost? Is there somewhere in our lives, in your life, in my life, that we're saying, okay, Jesus, here it is. I'm going to float in this rip. Everything I've been taught about this rip is that this rip will not take me to New Zealand. It will stop beforehand, and I'll be able to hop out of it and paddle in and get back to Australia. God says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm forever with you. When we go on this journey together, I'm walking this journey with you. When Peter started to sink, where was Jesus? He was right there, and he reached out his hand and he pulled him up. Reached out his hand and he pulled him up. Just got to walk in front of the speaker for a sec. Now, in all things, at the surf club, when it comes to being thrown in the rip, a few things had to happen to all these nippers before they got put in the rip. All these nippers had to pass a test that they could swim. You don't just get thrown in if you can't swim. It's good to know that you can swim. So they had to do that. They had to know what the water was about. They had to learn the beach awareness. Now every time, first day of patrol, every little group goes up onto the tower there at Kiwana, and they get stood up on the tower looking over the water, and they get told to look at the water. Okay, now what do you see? And these little kids are looking at the water, and they're seeing the waves rolling in, and they're seeing the water rush up onto the sand, and then they see the water rush off, and then they see it go into two areas where it's rushing away. Because when the water comes into the beach, this is simple, isn't it? The water comes into the beach, it doesn't just stay on the beach and make a nice pool for you to swim in, it sucks back out, doesn't it? How many of us have been standing there and all of a sudden felt that pull behind us? All right? And sometimes on the beach, that pull is stronger than in other places. So they learn all this and they find out, oh, there's the rip. I can see the rip. As a radio operator, I have to write down every time where the rips are. At Kiwana, we have two fixed rips. Because of the way the ground is and the way the beach is, those rips are there. And you can point them out nearly every time. Within 20 to 30 metres, either way, those rips will be sitting there. And then there's a one that moves backwards and forwards. And there's ones that appear out of the middle of nowhere. And they appear out of the middle of nowhere because a sandbank disappears and all that goes, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, you've got a rip flooding out. Now in life, with following Jesus, Jesus doesn't grab you and just throw you into a big rip and say, here, go for it. Peter had walked with Jesus a bit and had seen Jesus do some amazing things. And so when Jesus is walking on the water, Peter sees this. And with everything else that Peter has seen with Jesus, he gets to the point where he can say, if it's you, Jesus, then command me to come out onto the water. And he does. And he steps. It's like some of the things that Peter sees is step one on the ladder. And then as he sees it and he learns it and he grabs it and puts things into practice, it's step two on the ladder of following Jesus. And the further you go, the higher up you get. But guess what? Sometimes it's scarier, it can be. The more faith you put in Jesus in certain things, the more is the amazing outcome, but also more is the incredible cost. People in this place, and in this last little while, I've had the opportunity to talk to some people that have done mission work. And if you get a chance, talk to some of the people around you, because it really is amazing, some of their stories. And I won't go any higher, because some of you, I can see it on your faces, you're getting worried for me. But those stories come about because people took one step of faith, another step of faith, another step of faith, and they were able to go, okay, I can do this with you, God. The God that strengthened me here will do this. When David fought Goliath, was that his first fight? No. He had fought many other fights to take on Goliath. God had prepared him in so many ways. God just doesn't get you to take on a giant. He prepares you step by step by step. You walk by faith. You take the steps up the ladder, and at each level there will be different things for you to face. And you know what? When we do this walk together in a group called the church, we're meant to encourage one another. So if I was to go up another ladder step, there may be someone that might rush out to steady this ladder for me as I take that step of faith. Okay, I'll do it by myself then. Thank you, Cindy. in the church and walking with Jesus, we are not meant to do it alone. Remember rule 46B at Boys Brigade? No walking in the bush by yourself. You're meant to do it with other people. You're meant to go on this journey together with other folks, so that if you do get into trouble, there's someone there to help you, to walk with you, to pray with you, to encourage you. Thank you, Cindy. I wanted to bring my ladder from home, but this one sounded more faith. It's a dodgy ladder. Finishing the story. These guys, in their stand for God, made Nebuchadnezzar so angry that he got that furnace cooking big time. And even the people that threw Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego into the fire, they were burnt up themselves. So that's a pretty hot fire, isn't it? And they got thrown into that. And then Nebuchadnezzar's sitting back going, yeah, that'll teach them to not do what I tell them to do. And all of a sudden, they see not three people walking around in the furnace, but how many? Four. One who was like the Son of God walking with them. And God did deliver. And God did turn up. And we now tell that amazing story. But it's not just even that. But when they came out, there was no smell of smoke in their hair or on their clothes. And you should read some of the commentary writings on it. Some of them go to town on this, that their clothes, and they talked about their robes, which were free-flowing, and if anything was going to catch on fire, those robes would have caught on fire. And they were going into the nth degree on how that was such a miracle, and not even a stench of smoke in their clothes or in their hair. If I set up my fire in my backyard, I have a little fire pit in my backyard, and I love sitting out there and relaxing. If I set that up, and I come in after that, and I go to give Cynthia a hug, guess what I get? No-go zone. You stink. How do I stink? Of fire. Because I've been close to it. I wasn't in it. I was close to it. These guys were in it, and they didn't stink. So Jesus walked with them in an amazing way, didn't he? One step, two step, into the rip, floating in the rip, trusting Jesus. What are you going to be trusting Jesus for this year? Are you on the level of floating in the rip, or are you still on the beach looking and going, yeah, there's the rip. I know what that's about. I need to do some training so I too can have that step of faith. All of us have got different levels of faith that we're walking through at the moment. Amen? But the big thing is that we can all be aware of it and we can all go, okay, Lord, I trust you. Like these kids, trusting me to catch them. That scenario I have done hundreds of times as a youth pastor. But this week, I've seen one that's a little bit different. Sienna, can you come and help me for a sec? All right. Now, you don't have to fall, all right? You don't have to do anything, okay? Just stand there. Now, if I was standing here after what you've seen today, would you fall into my arms and trust me? Maybe? Maybe. All right. If I was to say, fall backwards, knowing that I'm standing in front of you, would you? No, because I'm standing here. I'd have to be pretty quick to run around and catch you, wouldn't I? Better chance falling forwards, not a lot of chance falling backwards, all right? Okay, cool. Thank you. This week, in one of my little clips finding out about stuff, the scenario was the person trusting Jesus. And they fell into Jesus' arms. And they got so excited that Jesus caught them that they kept falling into Jesus' arms all the time. They just kept doing it because it was such a great sense of, Jesus, always there, you catch me. You're always there. They're doing the backward fall. They're doing the forward fall. They're doing the eyes closed fall, all into the arms of Jesus. And then Jesus says, stop for a second. Yes. And then he says, turn around. Yes. And Jesus is standing there and he says, now fall forwards. But you're not there, Jesus. You're back there. I'm not falling that way when you're back there. Where is Jesus? He's there and he is there. That's a different step of faith, isn't it? What we know all the time, we can trust, but sometimes what we don't know is the hardest in faith and in trust in Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, faith and trust are two things that I'm not good at. I really want to work on this year and stepping out in faith and in trust. Just as rips still give me the heebie-jeebies, Lord. As soon as my feet go off the sand, there is that little button goes on inside my head. And when I'm walking with you, Lord Jesus, there are times when that button goes on. And I want to step out more and more in faith with you. I want to be like Peter, to get out of the boat and to walk on the water, focusing my eyes on you, because you are before us. Not to focus my eyes on the statistics and the wind and the waves and everything that's going on around me, but to focus on you, to put my faith and my trust in you, that you have all that I need and all that is for me. And Father, as I take stands this year, like Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego, Lord, whether I'm going to get burned or whether you're going to protect me from even any smoke smell, I want to make the right decision in you and step that bit of faith further each time. So Father, as I'm on level one of the ladder, help me to step up into level two, level three and level four. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. This week has been an amazing week with so many people sending stuff through to me, all to do with trust, faith, and even this morning's quiet time, which is walking your way through the Bible with Holy Trinity Brompton, with the guys from there, was all about trusting God. And in it, they talked about trusting God in just amazing ways. And one of the other stories that came across my path this week was how you invest in God, how you put some investment into an area which enables you to build up your faith and your trust. If you've got an investment in God, as it were, then that faith and trust is able to be stretched. But if there's nothing, if you've got nothing in God, you haven't taken that step, you haven't looked at the beach, you haven't got up off the ground, then that area of faith and trust in God is going to be what? Really low. Now today, as the team comes back and leads us in our last song, if you would like some prayer to be able to step to the first level of the ladder, or whether you've just bought a extendable ladder and you're ready to go to that next level, then come out the front. I'd love to pray for you and just say, yeah, let's step in faith together that we might be who God's called us to be this year. So if you would like some prayer in the last song, come on out the front. Thank you.